Go ahead, ushers.
I love you.
I love you more.
Or I love you more. No. You complete me.
Okay, Jerry Maguire. I love you more than bees love honey.
Oh, okay. Well, I love you more than spam eggs and rice.
Oh, I love you more than my 34 pairs of shoes.
Well, I love you more than Yogurtland.
I love Yogurtland.
I know.
Oh, let's go later.
Okay.
I love you more than gangsters love their bling, bling.
Gangsters
bling,
love their. Who says that?
I don't know. I love you more than you would ever admit.
Say that again.
I love you more than you would ever admit.
One more time.
I love you more.
All right, you win. You love me more.
Sometimes the scripture uses relationships like this to help us to remember when. Relationships between couples. Oh, it doesn't have just application to the couple. It has application to every single one of us. It's about life. Peter's going to do that as we continue our series called Making Mondays Count. He talks about that. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if some do not know the Lord, they might still be won without a word, but by the conduct of their wives. So let your beauty not be external only, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And continues, and he says, and husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman since she's a weaker vessel, but grant her honor as heirs, inheriting the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. What a great season of life it is, isn't it?
Your smiles and silly conversations, as if this sunny day came just for you. You twist your hair and you smile and you turn your eyes away. Come on, tell me what's right with you. Now it dawns on me, probably everybody's talking, and there's something here I'm supposed to realize. 'Cause your secret sound and the universe laughs a joke on me. I just caught it in your eyes. It's a beautiful surprise. When did you fall in love with me? Was it out of the blue? 'Cause I swear I never knew it. When did you let your heart run free? Have you been waiting long? When did you fall in love? I swear I never knew it. When did you let your love run free? Have you been waiting long? When did you fall in love with me? When did you fall in love. You
remember those days where everything was just wonderful, roses, peaches, and cream. Starlight, stars in your eyes. But then time passes and years go by, and candlelight dinners turn into monthly electric bills. Gourmet dinners only produce two overweight people. And he who was her hero is now her zero. She who was hot is now not. And what was I love you forever is now I love you whatever. Things change. But can you return to this, which is God's inheritance, what God wants for us? Can we ever return to that? Is there a way? And if so, how? What do you do when things seem to slow down?
Been sitting thinking about you and dying, wondering why we're not getting along. So frustrated, 'cause what we had was a happy home. I don't know what the situation is, but I can tell in the way we kiss. We don't talk no more, it feels better when I'm alone. Sometimes I feel like there's no getting through to you, like you don't appreciate all that I do. You gotta show me that you want me to stay. Don't turn and walk away. I'm falling out of love with you. I don't know what to do. How did we end up here this way? What are we gonna do? I'm slowly falling out. Baby, we're tripping on silly things. Boy, I need you to meet me halfway. If you want me to be with you, don't let your pride get in the way. For something we worked so hard, don't throw it away. I've been trying to make you see everything you need is right here in me.
Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Making Mondays Count? We're going to talk about the inheritance, how God would love for us to have a wonderful life. But often what begins as a blessing seems to end in a curse. Is there any way to return us back to that original state, as it were? Well, Peter walks us through this, and he's going to talk about the fact that receiving that inheritance that we had a taste of in the beginning is possible, but it comes only through an intentional life. We're going to talk about that. You see, if you had an affluent parent that leaves an inheritance for you, but that inheritance comes with a tutor as you grow up, so that tutor has to then determine when you are mature enough and ready enough to steward that inheritance, and then that inheritance is released to you, maybe even incrementally at first, to make sure that you can steward it well. Well, God has wonderful things for us in areas of forgiveness or healing or blessing, all a part of our inheritance. Well, you say, well, how then do we get that released to us? Because it seems like in the beginning it's all there and then it seems to fade. Is it still possible? Only if you move into an intentional life. It's called a life of faith. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's go to the top of our notes and let's read what 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9 says as we continue to walk through 1 Peter, and we're in the third chapter today. We're talking about inheriting the blessings, the power of a blessing. Let's read it together. Go. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Here it is, but giving a blessing instead. Why? For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So many times things which seem to start as a blessing end up in a curse. Can we return to that? Yeah. But it's going to require an intentional life. Intentional? Yeah. Because see, in the beginning, it's automatic. Seems like it. I say this to people, and you may have recalled me saying this before, but life is like a car, only in the opposite. You see, a car, long ago, everything was manual or intentional. Everything was manual. Manual steering, manual brakes, manual clutch, manual transmission, manual radio dial. You don't just have buttons or now it's just seek. No, you turn manual windows, manual locks, manual seat adjustment. Everything is manual. Even air conditioning is manual. Roll down your window. But as time went by, because of the advance of technology, things in the car or the automobile industry went from manual to automatic. Now it's automatic steering. You can steer with one finger, automatic brakes, automatic transmission, automatic radio. You didn't even have to touch the radio. It's all on your steering wheel. Automatic windshield wipers, automatic window, automatic locks, automatic seat adjustment, automatic air conditioning. Not only one zone, some cars have four zones of different individualized air conditioning. Amazing. It goes from manual to automatic. In fact, now you have remotes in your pocket. It just senses the proximity that you are from the car's door. When you walk up to it, it automatically unlocks. You sit in the thing. You don't even have to adjust the seat. It senses the remote and who it belongs to and zzz, remotely. Isn't that right? And then you don't have to even start the car. You just push a button. You don't have to put the key in the ignition. It won't be long before you don't even have to open the door. You just walk up to it and an arm will come out and grab you by the butt and put you in. Automatic. But life is exactly the opposite. It starts automatic and it moves to manual or intentional. Isn't that true? When you're young, someone pours food in one side of your body, it comes out the other. And then clean up. Automatic. And as you grow up, food is automatic. You just come to the table, sit down, boom, oh, automatic food. And then you go to bed, you get up one morning, you come to bed the next night, clean sheets, automatic. Room is cleaned, automatic. You don't even have to go to school. Someone takes you to school, pays for your school, automatic. And then you can eat anything you want and you stay thin, automatic. Not anymore. When you fall in love, automatic. I love you, I love you, I love you more. Automatic. Everything is so easy. But then as time goes by, it doesn't really degrade. It just goes from automatic to intentional. You see, in the beginning, you just look at your girlfriend. Oh, love comes automatic. Now I stare at my wife. She looks at me. What? Not automatic anymore. But can you still have a relationship? Can you still love one another? Yes, but it moves from automatic to intentional. Before it used to be, oh, I love you. Now it's, I love you still. Not automatic. It's intentional. Everything goes from automatic to intentional. And if you'll understand that, you'll be able to move into where the fulcrum is, where it's feelings. You'll move into this whole second part of life, which is intentional, which is even greater. But this is where the inheritance is going to be released to you. Not on this side when it's all about feelings. It's going to be on this side when we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Whereas when you're a brand new Christian, forgiveness was easy. Oh, let him go. devotions, wanting to read the Bible, coming to church. Yes. But after a while, it's still important, but you must do it intentionally, not automatically. And that decision will be one of the most important decisions you'll ever make, to move into a life that is intentional. Well, you say, how do you move that way? Especially when there's people that, like in relationships, that go from a blessing to a curse. Well, that'll happen. That'll happen in your family. That'll happen in your marriage. That'll happen even in church, where relationships that used to be so sparkly aren't. So do we bail out on one another? Well, we often do. But should we? No. Because if you can move past that into an intentional life, you will begin to receive your inheritance, and not before that. Because often we just bail out on each other. The Lord is saying, you haven't even moved into an intentional life yet. In fact, let me give you the first axiom of a successful life. Would you write it in there, the first one? Here's an axiom of a successful life. Blessings follow an intentional life. Blessings follow an intentional life, not before it. Because you see, those relationships will sort of stale. But how do you bring buoyancy back? Well, you're going to have to understand what it means to have an intentional life. Let's read what it says in Luke 6:32. Go. If you just love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Yeah, we've got to go beyond that to love those who don't love them. Then your love becomes an intentional love, not a love of feeling. Because when Jesus loved us, it was an intentional love. Did we deserve it? No. What about from the cross when we hurled curses at him? He said, Father, forgive them. Was that by feeling? No. It was an intentional forgiveness. And when we understand that we live on this side of the cross, we too must live an intentional life, and all the inheritance that God has will begin to be released, but it'll be released only on the intentional side. Because here's what God is saying. Would you write in that bullet? We must learn to live by what you know, no longer by how you feel. You must learn to live by what you know, no longer by how you feel. Let's read Romans 1:17. Go. The just shall live by... Yeah. But you see, the just, or those that are saved in Christ, we will still have relationships that'll go squirrely. And not everybody's going to like you. And we'll want to let them know a little bit of what we think. But we've got to be able to overcome that and move into an intentional life where what we would like to do and what we would like to say, we kill that, we die to that, and we speak what faith says. Is it easy? Mm-mm. It's an intentional life. But that's the arena in which your inheritance will be released, and not until then. We need to learn to live an intentional life. In fact, let's read what Genesis 4 says together. Go. Sin is crouching at your door. It wants to rule you, but you must overcome it. Yeah. You know what I'm finding is that the longer I am in Christ, the tougher it is to overcome certain things. Like when someone says something crazy or you get upset, forgiveness doesn't come as easily as it used to, because now it is intentional. Intentional. Now, I want you to go to the top of your notes again, and just to remind us now what Peter is saying, let's read that scripture again right at the top. Go. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit. God is saying, I want you to inherit a blessing, but you have to remember that we cannot return evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Huh? Yeah. Well, what if I want to give them an insult? It's an intentional blessing, not based on whether they deserve it or not, or whether you feel like it or not. It's intentionality. And when you begin to live an intentional life with your marriage, an intentional life, because you won't always feel lovey-dovey. You won't always feel like your kids are respectful and deserving of things. So do we then cut off relationships? Often we do. And we still stay as a family, but without relationship. How do you restore that? We must learn to live an intentional life. And let me give you the stages of an intentional life, especially when relationships go sideways, because that's where it starts to tumble. And the first stage is this. Would you write down in your notes, the first stage of an intentional life is this: quick forgiveness. No, not just forgiveness. It is what? Quick forgiveness. Would you circle that word quick and fill in the blank? Forgiveness. Quick forgiveness. Matthew 5 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's an intentional life. See, in the beginning, forgiveness, quick forgiveness is easy. "Oh, honey. Yes, sweetheart. I forgot the keys." "It's okay." "Now, honey, I forgot the keys." "Where's your brain? You forget that too?" Isn't that right? All of a sudden, forgiveness is not as easy. But it used to be quick, but it isn't anymore. Here's what I'm finding. Forgiveness is not natural as much as it used to be. It's not innate. It's not as instinctive, not as automatic. You know why? Because, you see, when I was a young Christian, forgiveness came very easily. And now that I've been walking with Christ for a long time, I forgive, but not so easily. I forgive, but not so quickly. And then I wonder why things go bad in my life and I get injured all the time. No. You see, the Bible is saying, here's an important thing. You've got to forgive, not just forgive, but you got to forgive how? Quickly. This guy was berating me for a couple of months, sending me these emails and all of these things. And I was getting just upset because he was not only wrong, he was naggingly wrong. And he was getting a little nauseating. And I remember I was talking to people, you know, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And we were just kind of biting on him after a while. And I remember driving down the freeway, the H1, and I was complaining to God, and I heard God say something so clearly. He said, "Wayne, you need to forgive him right away." And I thought, what? And it wasn't like God was demeaning or disciplining me. "You need to forgive him right away." No, it was like a sense of urgency. You need to do it right away, right away. And I thought, why? And I started to carry on a conversation with God. And then I started to evaluate things, and here's what I heard God say. The reason you need to forgive him right away is because if you don't, you're starting to become just like the one that's giving you a hard time. You're starting to become just like the one you cannot forgive. So wrapped in a different packaging, but you're becoming just like him. Your spirit is starting to be the same. Your angst is being the same. You're getting back at one another, same. You become exactly like the one you can't forgive. And so God was saying, forgive him right now, because it's starting to happen. It's starting to take place. You see, when I forgive, it keeps me free from that same sickness being contagious and affecting me. It protects you. But not only does it protects you from becoming like that other person, it also protects you from being scarred permanently because of another person. Isn't it true that a lot of us, we get scarred permanently because of something else that someone else has done, even as Christians? Be honest, how many of you say, "I've been scarred permanently by some other people"? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of us have. Yeah, and then our tendency is to become jaded to certain kinds of people. And we become extremely opinionated, not because we believe in this thing so much, but because someone did something against us, and now I've taken the other side, and I'm just as opinionated as that person was on the other side. I've become like them. And I've been scarred emotionally and permanently. And one of the reasons why God says you need to forgive quick forgiveness, is because it keeps you from being scarred permanently. It's sort of like this. I put some paper in your hand, and someone comes and lights it on fire. "Ow, ow." "Well, let it go," I say. "Oh, he shouldn't have lit this on fire anyway. Ow, let it go. Ow, it's burning me. That turkey, that terrible person. Let it go. Ow, it's burning me. Let it go. Ow, look what you did to me." "No, he didn't do it to you." "Yes, he did." "No, he didn't." "Yeah, he lit it on fire." "No, I told you to let it go." "I did, but not quick enough." See, that happens to us as Christians. In the beginning, we forgive really quickly. But isn't it true after a while, you've been a Christian for a while, you forgive, but not very quickly. And we sustain damage and injury from one another. And what happens is what really God designed to be a blessing turns into a curse because we're injured by one another. And God is saying the first stage of an intentional life is to forgive quickly. Let's read what it says and see how it's also reciprocal. Remember, when you forgive, it keeps you from being like that other person and it keeps you from being injured permanently. There is a reciprocal benefit of healing. Let's read what it says here. Go. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Do you believe that part of your inheritance is forgiveness? Then how's that inheritance going to be released? By me issuing forgiveness. You see, here's a cool thing about forgiveness. Intentional forgiveness, not because he deserves it, intentional forgiveness. As I issue it, it releases a portion of my inheritance. Forgiveness. See, when I have a hard time forgiving people, I ask myself, Wayne, how much forgiveness do you still need? If you don't need any, then you don't need to forgive them. But the Bible says, as you forgive, you will be forgiven. Here's the question. Do you still need any more forgiveness? How many of you would say, I still need a little bit more forgiveness? Yeah, when I ask myself that question, then I think, I need to forgive. Yeah, but you know what he did? Doesn't matter. I need forgiveness. Yeah, but you know what an idiot he is? Doesn't matter. I need forgiveness. And a part of my inheritance will be released when I issue quick forgiveness. So it keeps me from becoming like that person. It keeps me from permanent injury. And when I issue that forgiveness, it releases a part of my inheritance. See, the first stage of living an intentional life is not just forgiveness. It's quick forgiveness. Everybody say quick. It's not just forgiveness, it's quick forgiveness. Otherwise, we injure ourselves. The second stage of intentionality is not just when you quickly forgive and forget and move on, but the second stage of living an intentional life goes one step further. And it's not that you just forgive. You actually, would you write down, pray for them early on. Early on. Because you see, we still pray, but our prayer changes along the way. Early on. Why? Luke 6, 28. Let's read it. Go. Pray for those who... Yeah, see, we pray, but our prayer changes. Our prayer changes. You see, when you're first married, here it is. Here's your prayer. Year one, you're married. Year one. Dear Father, I pray for my precious, sweet, adoring husband that you will help him today. Year two. Lord, you know the man you call my husband? He's a pill. But I pray for him because he needs your help. Year three. Lord, pluck out his eyes and dash him against a rock. Beat some sense into him so he'll come to his senses. Good night. Glory to God. Hallelujah forever. Isn't that right? That's how we pray. And we still pray. But our prayer changes. And the Lord is saying, when things go funny, pray. Why? Remember, things that we issue, like forgiveness and prayer, are going to be, here's the word, reciprocal, which means in order to receive a blessing, there's got to be something that you issue intentionally, not feeling-wise, because it won't be there, but you move across the fulcrum, and you go to this side of the equation, and it's an intentional life where your forgiveness is intentional. Not because I feel like it. And the reason I pray for someone is intentional. Why? Because it's reciprocal. That's where I'm going to receive my inheritance. What's your inheritance when you pray for those who mistreat you? Here it is. Let's read it together. James 5:16. Go. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Here it is. And pray for one another. Why? So that you may be... Circle the word you. Pray for one another. Why? So that who can be healed? Yeah, here's what the Lord is saying. When you pray for one another who mistreats you and where their sins abound, but yet you're praying for one another, what does God release to you? Healing. Is that a part of your inheritance? Absolutely. And maybe the reason we aren't healed as much in relationships that need to be restored back to its buoyancy, its blessings of the beginning, is because we don't pray often for one another. Oh, we pray when it feels right, but we don't pray when it's intentional. With the heart of Christ. When you begin to pray intentionally, it releases a part of our inheritance called healing. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Because it'll always come back to you. If I say, I can't pray for him, I can't forgive, then what's going to be reciprocal? Bitterness. It doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. Here's a definition of bitterness. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Isn't that right? Yeah, because it always comes back on you if you don't forgive. There's this joke about this Porgy guy. His girlfriend decides to leave Mano. And he gets so mad. No, you're not going to leave me. I'm going to leave you. No, you better not leave me. I'm going to leave you. That's it, man. I'm going to get one gun. Tough. I'm going to leave you. Well, he goes and gets a gun. Finds her in the park smooching with her new boyfriend. And he walks up to her and says, that's it. Puts a gun to his own head. That's it. That's it. This is the end of our relationship. She said, man, oh, don't shoot yourself. There's so much life left to live. She said, shut. He said to her, shut up. You're next. Hey, by the way, when I tell Portuguese jokes, it's not to demean any ethnicity, because I is one. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, and some people get upset. Listen, in Hawaii, we tell all kinds of jokes. You can tell Polish jokes, or some people tell Ole and Sven jokes, or they tell blonde jokes. Well, I can't tell any of those, so I tell Portuguese jokes, you know? It's all right. And even in Australia, the Australians make jokes with the New Zealanders, and they banter back and forth. It's a healthy kind of bantering, and it endears people to one another. And every once in a while, you get some insecure person. But it's like, what are you doing up there? You know, knock it off. So it's really as a term of endearment. It's really, some people say, well, you should just, like, instead of saying Portuguese or this or that, just say person A and person B, like be general. I said, what? Yeah, just make it like generic. I said, no, you can't do that. There's something missing. It's sort of like this. If I just, the joke I just told you, here's how you tell it generic. Listen to this. Person A felt inconvenienced when his significant other decided to convert her allegiances to person C. This is person B. Person A, in finding them together in a park, person B and person C, he lifted a handgun to his own head and said to person B, this concludes our relationship and romance. Person B said, Bernard, she replied, suicide is not the answer. Person A answered, when I conclude my dastardly act, you will be subsequent to me. There's just something missing, you know that? You gotta have the pigeon, you gotta have the passion, and then it's a little more humorous and you get the point. Some people say, why do you use humor in church? I say, you know why? Because when people laugh, they have their mouths open. And when they have their mouths open, I put something in it for them to chew on. You want to hear something? You want to hear something that'll just flip your brains? This actually happened on Wednesday. This is true story. I just had my devotions, and I'm driving to work, and I thought I'd turn to another station, you know, just to listen in. So I turned to this station, and this guy named Frank or someone was talking, and he was just berating this person that told Portuguese jokes. He shouldn't do that. He's demeaning people. It's wrong. He said, "You people call in and tell me about if you appreciate this or not." So I thought, oh, I better listen to this. You know? So I was listening to it, and the person calls in and says, "Well, we don't think it's that bad. It's a local thing." He says, "I'm local too." He says, "Yeah, but it's just endears to us to one another." Next. And he hangs up on her. And I thought, well, that's rude. Come on. And he gets this next one, and this lady talks really pidgin. And then he says, What do you say? I don't understand you. Click. Next. And I thought, you just said you're local, and you're hanging up on local people. I thought, you crazy guy, you can't be doing that. That's the epitome of rudeness. And then this other guy says, "I don't think you should talk about this pastor." Huh? My ears came really big. True. I turned the radio up a little bit. And then this guy says, "Are you talking about Pastor Wayne Cordero?" "Yeah, that's him. I put on my sunglasses, driving down the road. This just happened this week. And he just goes off. He shouldn't be telling these Portuguese jokes. It just demeans people. And I thought, that's what you're doing to all of your listeners. And then this other guy calls up and says, "You know, I don't think you should be demeaning this pastor because they do such a good job. And if you keep doing that, I don't think I should listen to your radio station." Here's what he said. "Well, good. Turn the station then. Click next." I thought, if I were your boss, I'd fire you. You're driving him away. This other guy calls, "Hey, I'm 26 years old, and I don't think you should demean this church because they do a good job. And you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit," he said, "they gave tons of money to them." That's right. By the way, we gave $80,000 to help Katrina. And he said, "And when Hurricane Iniki hit, and he was in Hilo, he helped over there, and over the tsunami, they helped over there." So, anybody can do that. Click next. I thought, what are you doing? And then he said, "How do you like it if people tell stories about you?" Well, this lady calls back, and she says, "I'm blonde, and I'm Jewish, and I've heard blonde jokes and Jewish jokes." "Oh, okay. How do you feel about that?" She said, "I laugh like crazy." Click next. I was listening to him, and I'm just getting upset. And I thought, I'm going to call him right now. Because I bet he doesn't even know I'm listening. I'm going to call him and give him a piece of my mind. But for two reasons I didn't. Number one, I don't have enough pieces of my mind to spare. One. Secondly, I thought, I can't really give him a piece of my mind because I'm writing a sermon on forgiveness for this Sunday. So instead, I prayed for him. Oh, boy. But it has to be intentional at that point, you see, because you begin to pray. But that's where we have to live, because if you're living on this side of the line, you won't. But on this side, you will, because you understand the blessings of an intentional life and the power of a blessing. And all of these things, when you forgive quickly, it keeps you from becoming like that other person. It keeps you from being permanently scarred. And we need forgiveness. So God then releases some forgiveness to you as part of your inheritance because you're forgiving intentionally. And then when you pray intentionally, God says, "Pray for one another that who may be healed? You." And then part of my inheritance is released to me because there's a gaining of maturity and I'm living on the side of intentional living because the just shall live by faith. And let me give you the highest stage of intentional living. Number three, here's the highest stage, the greatest stage. Even when you don't feel like it, you forgive, you pray, but here's the third, you bless them. That's not easy, but you bless them. You bless them. Let's read what 1 Peter 3:9 says. Go. "Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. But giving a what? Blessing instead. Why? Because this is your calling, so that you might inherit a blessing. So I do have a part of my inheritance, blessing. Oh, that's right. But it won't be released until you issue the same. And it has to be intentionally. Because it's easy in the beginning. It's automatic. Bless you, bless you. But what if they go wrong and go sideways on you? Then it becomes an intentional blessing. But most of us stop at that point, and we stop being a blesser kind of people. And God is saying that our inheritance will be released. He said, well, wait a minute. What if that person is doing something evil? You're saying to bless him? Remember, you're not responsible to decide who is worthy of a blessing and who isn't. Because if we were the people who decided, you're worthy of my blessing, you're not. You're worthy of a blessing, you're not. That makes you God. You don't take the role of God. You see, blessing is not as a result of a person's deservedness. No, no, no. Would you write in that bullet, the blessing is about our faith, not about our feelings. Our faith, not about our feelings. And listen, God is not so unwise to endorse and promote someone who's doing evil so he will advance that cause. No, you got to remember, blessing, when I bless somebody, is not just to promote and endorse, it's to help them become transformed into God's best. A blessing transforms you into God's highest. So when I say, Lord, bless them, I'm not saying promote or endorse their activity. Bless them, which is, Lord, whatever you need to do, transform them into your highest. Not destroy them, not find destruction for them. But Lord, would you somehow transform, convert, redeem them into your highest? Then as you bless, if that person is open to God's blessing, God says, I will reconstruct him into my highest and my best. And so God says, bless them. And it's not a part of their deservedness. It's a part of your faith. You say, well, what if he doesn't deserve it? What if he doesn't? I want you to read with me in Luke chapter 10. If you're doing devotions with us, which I know you are, then yesterday you will have read this in Luke chapter 10. You say, well, what if they don't deserve it? Here's a cool thing. Remember, everything here is reciprocal when you're living on the intentional side. It's reciprocal. There's a reason for God saying, you need to quickly forgive. You need to pray for those who mistreat you. Why? Because that's a part of an intentional life, and there's a reciprocal benefit that comes. Then one is healing. The other is forgiveness. It protects you from being permanently damaged. And then a blessing. Well, what if they don't deserve it? Here it is. Let's read it together in Luke 10. Go. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. You see, God is saying, if you bless a person and that person is ready for a transformed life, I will actually reconstruct him into my highest. But if he rejects that blessing, it comes back to you. It comes back to you. Sometimes we say, well, I'll bless him, but not that much. Like, God, don't kill him today. Maybe wait till tomorrow. No, because you see, if that guy is not deserving of any blessing, it comes back to you. Oh, so I don't die today, but maybe tomorrow? Not good. No, see, God says if he doesn't deserve it, it comes back to whom? So give him the biggest blessing you can. Just in case. Yeah, you see, when I'm going down the freeway now and someone cuts me off, my adrenaline goes into my body. Instead of returning evil for evil or insult for insult, give a blessing instead. Oh, God bless him with a Harley Davidson. Bless him. Bless him with $1 million. Bless him. Bless him. Just in case. Because then it will come back to you. I tell you, living on the intentional side of life, it'll require us a first stage to not just forgive, but to forgive how? Quickly. To keep you from becoming like the very one you can't forgive, and to protect you from being permanently damaged. That you let go quickly. And then you go beyond that and you pray for that person. You pray. Because as we pray for one another, who gets healed? And remember, if you don't, bitterness destroys you much sooner than anybody else. You'll get the stress. You'll start having muscle aches. Not them. You will. And that keeps you healed. Because that's a part of your inheritance. But that only comes on the intentional side of life. And then bless. Bless. And the Lord says, if it doesn't land and it's not deserved, I'll give it to you. It's a part of your inheritance. So bless. And when you do that, you become a people of His inheritance. Let's be that kind of people. What do you think? Let's pray. Would you bow your heads? If you're here today and you say, you know, Wayne, I would love to have a life of blessing, but how do I start that? Your first step really is, if you've never come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is not to go for the blessing, but to come to the blessor. Not to ask God for the gifts, but to come to the giver of all gifts. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're starting a relationship with Him. You're not asking for stuff from Him. You're beginning a relationship with Him, a personal relationship. How do you do that? Very simple. If you know that you need forgiveness, you ask Him. And when you ask Him for forgiveness, the first step that He does is He cleans the slate of your life with His blood, the blood that was shed on Calvary. And then He begins to rebuild your life according to His design. But He waits for your permission. He waits for your choice about that offer. You say, well, what about God's choice? God made His choice 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins and mine. The next choice is yours. And that'll be the most eternal choice you'll ever make in your life. If you're here today and you say, I need to make that choice because God knows I need forgiveness. I need to be born again and I want to begin a walk with Jesus. I don't deserve it, but I know that He died for an undeserving people just like me. And so I say yes to His offer to eternal life and forgiveness of sins and a relationship with Him. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Okay, yeah. All right, okay. Yep, you too. Yeah, okay, on the sides. Yeah. Okay, all right. All right, yep. Lord sees that. Okay. Good. If this is the first time you've received Christ, outside there are some yes packets. Please get one. It's free of charge. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. You'll get it from any of the counters back there, any usher. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but it's so true, man. It's taken me longer and longer to forgive, to let go of stuff. It seems like the longer I am in Christ, the longer it takes me to forgive and let go of things. I want to live a life that's intentional because I need to be a person of the inheritance. I don't want to be a Christian without my inheritance. There's so much God has for me, but I understand that there's a way to release, have that inheritance released. I want to live an intentional life. Lord, if you'll help me, would you do that? And if that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yep, that's me, Lord. Would you help me to live that intentional life and make my Mondays count? Let's all pray this prayer together. Pray with all your heart, would you? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming, dying for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. You raised me up from my checkered past to build in me a new future. I turn from my sins. I turn to you. And I say this so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. So raise me up and make me the person you want me to be. A person of your inheritance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ. Let's all stand as we conclude. Don't forget water baptism today at 3 o'clock at Magic Island. We'll see you down there. If you've never been baptized in water, it's an intentional thing that we do. An intentional thing that we do. And God releases more of your inheritance because you're learning to live by intention, by what the Word says, not by feelings or what the world says. Let's pray. Thanks, Father, for your grace in our lives. Thanks for such a wonderful church. We ask your blessings. As we walk from this place, may we leave looking more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Would you thank God with a clap offering again? In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope. Alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Give somebody a hug on your way out.